going to read in Romans, and I'm going to show you how Romans connects to Pentecost in the book of Acts. But Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Do you know everyone that was baptized into the death of Jesus Christ? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. This is not about a formula for baptism, but we baptize by immersing in water. That is the biblical formula. Otherwise, his analogy of a burial would not make sense if it was some other thing. No, we are immersed in water, and we're baptized, what, in Jesus' name. That's why Paul says you are baptized into the death of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name. Therefore, we are buried with him and by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. I just want to tell somebody today, this is not just talking about the resurrection someday. It's talking about your life today. And I want to tell you today that it is the desire of the Lord for you to walk in newness of life. This is not just an experience. It is a walk, and it changes everything about your life. Today, my sermon title is this: Give God Control. Give God Control. And before you're seated, I want you to pray with me. If you are a guest with us today, and this service is a little, maybe even overwhelming, I understand that. But my prayer is by the time you leave here today, you will have an understanding of why we do the things that we do, where this comes from. And also know that this is not just something for us. This is something for, the Bible says, all flesh. This is for everybody. So before you leave here today, you can experience the power of the Holy Spirit for yourself. You can have that experience of speaking in another tongue as the Spirit of God gives you the ability to do so. That is available for every single person that is breathing oxygen. And for those of us that know, I want you to pray, and I want you to pray because I want you to be refilled today. If we're not careful, we will just move right along and we will not leave room for the Spirit of God to move. But I want this to be a day. This is Pentecost Sunday. I want there to be a personal Pentecost. I don't want Pentecost to be something we read about. I want to experience it for myself. And if you want that same experience, can you just pray with me one more time and set the expectation today? Lord, I thank you today. Lord, I pray that you would touch us by your Spirit today. Lord, I want today to be a personal Pentecost. Lord, I want a move of your Spirit, God. I don't want to just come in and have a ritual of church. I don't want to just come in and sing a couple songs and hear a good sermon and leave. I want Pentecost. I want to feel your presence. I want what's in this book. I want it to move and saturate every single one of us. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name, I pray. Oh, can we just thank God together? There's such a strong power of the Spirit in this place. I have such a sense of expectation. Amen. 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 Thank you for worshiping. You can be seated today. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. And I want to speak to you. This entire month, I've been talking about the idea of control and been telling you that God is in control. The very first sermon that I shared this month was under this idea that God is in control. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, we said, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's that reminder that you were not made. You cannot hold everything together in your life, but you can surrender your life to the one who holds all things together. Now, God is in control. In him all things hold together. But also, I let you know, and we studied in Scripture, that God has given us control over many things. God expects us to have control over many things. We talked about two last Sunday. Number one, we need to have control over our mind. God has given us the ability to control our mind. And secondly, we are to have control over our tongue. And so we're going to see this on Pentecost Sunday. And again, today, there may be some people that have a different understanding when you think about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Well, why do you talk about speaking in tongues? Why do you talk about people getting filled with the Holy Spirit? Why? What is speaking in tongues? And why is that so important? Why do you emphasize that so much? And is that for us? And is that for the church? And yes, we're going to cover that from a biblical perspective, because I don't want to just give you my opinion. I want to read the Word of God together. And if anyone has any questions, if there's anything in the Word you want to speak about, I would love to meet with you and talk to you about the Word of God, because I want to show you how the Holy Spirit is all throughout the New Testament. And the writer of Romans, Paul, tells us about this. So on Pentecost Sunday, we're going to talk about that experience at Pentecost. Now, Pentecost, there's a deep understanding of history we're not going to go into. The Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, the Day of First Fruits. But we see that it becomes the day that the Spirit of the Lord is poured out. When Jesus ascends into heaven, he says, go wait and you'll get power from on high. In Acts chapter 2, it says this. We sang about it already today, but I just repeat it. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And the Bible says there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. There appeared on them cloven tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is as the Spirit gave them the ability. Other people heard this happening. They said, what is this? What is happening? And Peter preaches this message. The prophet Joel talked about the Spirit being poured out. But then he gives them this instruction. In Acts chapter 2, he says in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He says, you want to receive what these people have just received? These people you see speaking in tongues that you think they're drunk? You want that same experience? Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and you can receive the very same thing. And then he says, this is a promise in verse 39. It's for you. It's for your children. It's for all those who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So today, this is for you and I. This was not just for those people there on that day. This is for all those who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So today, I tell you this not because it's just something that we do. I want to let you know, when you get baptized in Jesus' name, it is not just a thing where we all say, yay, we celebrate, what a great decision. When you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, as evidenced by speaking in other tongues, it's not just something we say, yay, you checked the box, now you got your ticket into heaven, you're done, that's so amazing. No, I want you to know that when you get the Holy Spirit, something supernatural happens in your life. It is not just a good feeling or a good experience. Something powerful happens. Something powerful happens when you're baptized in Jesus' name. Something powerful happens when you speak in tongues for the very first time as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. And we're going to study the Word of God here today. But this experience, I want to tell you, is for everybody. In fact, if you're watching online, this experience is for you. It's not relegated to a church house. In fact, Brother Stan told me today that there is a church that is watching online today, Abundant Life Church in Abu Dhabi, Pastor Brad and Veronica Reed. So I just want to say, I pray a blessing. It is 6:30 at night at their church. I want to pray a blessing and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your church in Jesus' name. The same experience that we have in Sterling Heights, Michigan is the same God, the same Spirit, the same experience that can be poured out in Abu Dhabi in Jesus' name. Let it be done. And I want to tell you, we're going to study the Word of God, because I don't want to just give you my opinion. I want to give you what the Word of God says, because I believe that the Spirit of God is being poured out and is going to continue to be poured out today. And if you've been seeking the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you that I believe today is the day that you can receive it for yourself beyond the shadow of a doubt. So why do I read Romans on Pentecost? You know, last week I talked about this, the idea, scriptural idea, that you cannot tame your tongue. You have to control it. James says this, that you cannot tame your tongue. But we understand if, you know, Pentecost Sunday, why are you preaching from Romans, not Acts? But if you're familiar with things, I want to give some context. If you hear people say, I'm Pentecostal. Well, in the Christian church, there's a lot of denominations. There's this denomination that came from this person who, when he made this new doctrine, they started calling themselves after that name. So why do we call ourselves Pentecostal? And we're not devoid of tradition. Certainly we have traditions. Certainly we have those things. But the reason I would say I'm Pentecostal is because I want to identify with the experience of the Book of Acts church. more than I want to say, well, this man said this, and his father said that, and his father said that, and his father said that, and this tradition said that. No, I want to go to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say? If it's not in this book, I don't know that I'm as interested as anything that is in this book. So when I say I'm Pentecostal, what I mean is I want Pentecost for myself. I don't want to just read about God's Spirit being poured out. I want to experience Pentecost myself. I'm Pentecostal. I'm Pentecostal in experience. You'll hear people say, I'm apostolic. What does that mean? Is that just a church, you know, another church term? No, when I say I'm apostolic, that means I want to follow the teachings of the apostles, the people that walked with Jesus. What did they say? What did they do? What did they tell other people to do? So when I say I'm apostolic, I'm making a commitment that whatever they said right here in the New Testament, I'm going to live by the words of Jesus. I'm going to live by the words of those that walked with him, that were inspired by God to write the word of God. So I'm Pentecostal and I'm apostolic. So don't be afraid of these things. If you say, you know what, I'm Pentecostal. You're not saying I'm this denomination, that denomination. No, what you're saying is I want the Spirit of God to be poured out on me for myself. I want to be Pentecostal. I want to be apostolic. I want to follow the teachings of the apostles. That's where we get that from. So reading Romans on Pentecost Sunday, Paul is talking about something that we need to understand. Romans 6. He said, we are dead to sin, alive to God. You've heard me say this before. When a writer wants to get his point across, when they want to make something really serious, they will use the analogy of life and death. Another one they use is light and darkness. So here again, Paul taps into the strongest language at his disposal, death and life, for you to understand the implications of it. In the English Standard Version says this, Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? You've heard that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. He's like, well, since grace abounds, does that mean we just keep sinning so grace can abound? Well, certainly not. It's kind of tongue in cheek. No, don't keep sinning. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? He's revealing something. Listen, if you are dead to sin, stop living in it. Stop living in sin. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were baptized into that death. We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So the first thing he says in Romans 6, do you not know? It's like, you got to know what's happening. You got to understand what's happening. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to know what this means. Do you know what this means? It doesn't mean you keep walking in the way you have walked. Scripture teaches this to us, baptism in the name of Jesus, newness of life. And when we see that in this, you know, Paul writes Romans 6, well, he doesn't say, B, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, and then you need to speak in tongues, you need to walk in newness of life. Why does he not say all of that? Well, what he says is walk in newness of life. He's not just talking about the act of baptism. He is talking about the entire new birth experience. That's why he says in Romans chapter 7, the next chapter, he says in Romans 7, 6, we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter. So in Romans 6, he says, walk in newness of life. In Romans 7, he says, walk in newness of spirit. What is he talking about? What does he mean we were dead by the law? We need to understand this. You and I could not experience the presence of God in the Old Testament like the priest. Only the priest was allowed to go in the Holy of Holies, right? So you and I were separated. We could not have that same experience. But the Bible says when Jesus died, it says the veil in the temple was torn in two supernaturally. What does that mean? All of a sudden, that Holy of Holies that nobody could get to, it was torn in half, saying because of the death of Jesus, when he rose again, now you and I have direct access to the presence of God. We no longer have to go to a priest. We no longer have to offer us an animal sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus was the sacrifice for us. So because he died and rose again, stop living in sin and walk in newness of spirit. We can have the Holy Ghost for ourselves. You can have the Holy Spirit for yourself. We need to understand that. By the time Paul wrote Romans 6, explaining baptism as a burial with Christ into his death, the church had already been living out Acts 2:38 for 20 years. So he's not introducing some new thing. the day of Pentecost had happened 20 years before he writes Romans 6. So as he's writing Romans, he's writing within the context of people that had repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. He's writing to people that have had that experience, and he's deepening our theological understanding. So first of all, he says, do you know what happened? It's not just an experience. It's a life transformation. It's a change forevermore. He says this all throughout Romans 8 and 2. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You are free. Here we see sin, death, walking with God, life. Sin, slavery, walking with the Lord, freedom. You see that he uses the strongest analogies at his disposal to get you and I to understand. This is not just come in and play patty cake church. Something changes in your life. Something changes, and you need to know that. So today I say, number one, you need to know what happens when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a ritual. There is something powerful that happens. If we want to read on in Romans 6, verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. There's that promise. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Today, if you came in here and you've got some sins in your life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that old self can die, can be gone forever. It can die. For the death, and we see this, in verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 12, therefore, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members as sent to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. There it is again. And your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Look at this, verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. I know I've just read a lot of scripture. Let me break this down for you. People ask me this. Well, you know, for instance, we talk about our tongue. We can't tame our tongue. But if I have the Holy Spirit, you say, walk in newness of life. You say, the old man is dead. I'm a new creation, all this stuff. Well, shouldn't that just fix everything? Like, shouldn't when I get the Holy Spirit, shouldn't I, well, I'm a new person, I'm a new creation, all my sin is gone, so shouldn't I not have a problem with my tongue? Shouldn't I not have a problem with these things? And there's something that we need to understand, that as long as you are on this earth, you will have human flesh. You will always be in a battle. You will always fight. That will never change. But here's what's amazing. In verse 14, it says, for sin will have no dominion over you. That word dominion. In the very beginning of time, God gave us control. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, and God gave them dominion, man, over the fowl of the air and the beasts of the sea and everything that moved upon the earth. So God gave us dominion. He said, I created everything, but I'm going to give you power and dominion. But then Adam and Eve break their covenant walk with God. They sin, and they're separated from God. So now, we have to be reunited with God. So in the Old Testament, they offer sacrifices and they do all these things. But now, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because you can have that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, living inside of you, when that happens, it's basically saying, it's not that the battle is over, but before you have the Holy Ghost, sin is sitting on the throne of your life. But when you get the Holy Ghost, you take sin and the enemy off of the throne of your life and you put Jesus in that place. So what I'm saying is you may have struggled with some addictions for your whole life, but when you get the Holy Ghost, the power of sin is broken in your life. The dominion of Satan is broken in your life. There are people in this church who have been delivered for years from crack cocaine, and you would never know. Why? Because it has been broken in their life. There have been people that have been abused and neglected, but now they're happy and married and whole. Why? Because sin has no dominion over their life, and they can walk in newness of spirit. That's what happens when you get the Holy Ghost. You put Jesus on the throne of your life. God has given us control. We need to understand this. You don't get perfect when you get the Holy Spirit. You don't become perfect when you get the Holy Spirit. You don't get perfect, you get power. The Bible says that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses. In Luke 24, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from where? From on high. Listen, I am all for personal discipline. I am all for making boundaries in my life. I'm all for good habits and putting yourself around the right people and making sure you put up good things. But let me just tell somebody that no matter what you do in your flesh, I am going to make mistakes. I am going to fail. If I'm ever gonna have the power to actually overcome my sin, my depravity, my problems, the things I struggle with, it can't be a power of self-will. It's a power that has to come from on high. So can I tell somebody today, if you wanna overcome sin in your life, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost living inside of you. Why? Because it breaks the dominion of sin in your life. This is not just an experience for Pentecostal people. I want everyone to be Pentecostal. Not because of a denomination, because of an experience. I want you to experience Pentecost for yourself. That's what I want for you today. I'm not here preaching that, oh, some things are gonna get a little bit better. I'm here preaching that some things will be broken in Jesus' name. Sin will be broken in Jesus' name. Desires will be broken in Jesus' name. I know people that have been addicted to things and they said, after I got the Holy Ghost the very next day, I lost all taste for those things. I lost all desire for those things. It can happen for you. There's also people that the Lord calls them to walk away from those things and the battle still exists. But now you've got the power to overcome. So, Holy Spirit, I think we all would understand, yes, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. We need these things. We need this power from God. But why do you emphasize speaking in tongues? Why? Why is that the thing that you say is the Holy Spirit? Where does that come from? That's a wonderful question. And we need to answer it from the Bible today. Speaking in tongues is not just a one-time thing. Paul even said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So let's talk about tongues. Number one, we see that speaking tongues in the scripture is the first initial sign. This is the initial sign that somebody has received the Holy Ghost. If you're curious about this, I want you to look in the New Testament. Do your own research. I want you to look for every time that somebody got the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. I want you to search that out for yourself. You're going to find five. In three of those instances, it says a very identical thing. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Ghost and they spoke in other tongues. Acts chapter 10 and verse 46. Long story short, the Jews did not think that the Gentiles could get the Holy Ghost. They thought it was just for them. And yet when they heard them speak with other tongues, that alone was evidence enough for them to overthrow their entire religious background and say, even though I didn't want to believe it, the fact that they're speaking in tongues is evidence enough for me to believe that they actually got the Holy Ghost. I cannot deny it, even though my whole life tradition said he should not get the Holy Spirit, but yet here he is. And then we see Acts 19, the believers in Ephesus, Acts 19 and verse 6. And this is what we see is that they came upon some people and they said, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? These are believers. And they said, we've never heard of it. He says, well, then who baptized you? They said, well, John baptized us. He said, okay, well, I'm gonna re-baptize you in Jesus' name. He said, John baptized you with water unto repentance, but I'm gonna baptize you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says he baptized them in Jesus' name. He laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Now, there's two other times you're gonna find in the New Testament where someone gets the Holy Spirit. Number one is Paul. His transformation from Saul to Paul, the road to Damascus, he's struck down by a light. He goes to Ananias and he receives the Holy Spirit. The Bible does not explicitly record right there that he spoke in tongues. But later on, when Paul is recounting his own life, when he's giving instruction to the church, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. He speaks about it as a personal experience. And then the fifth time in scripture is Simon the magician. There's a man that was a magician and he's trying to wow everyone and the disciples come through and they begin to, they lay hands on people and they get the Holy Ghost. And the Bible doesn't say they spoke in tongues. The Bible says that Simon saw that and said, what is that power? What is that? What did you just do? I would pay you to have that power. So what the question is, what did he see? I don't think he saw some different, totally separate, complete thing. No, I believe he saw exactly what they saw on the day of Pentecost. I believe he saw the disciples laying hands on people and them getting the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And he recognized, even he wasn't a believer, he said, that is something that I cannot do. That is something powerful that I haven't seen before. And whatever it is, I want it. What I'm telling you is that in the New Testament, when people receive the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues. That's what we see. So then what about some of these other instances? Well, number two, and again, I don't have time for a deep dive. I would love to talk to you about more if you have questions. But number two, a spirit-filled person can exercise the gift of tongues for themselves in personal devotions, whether private or in the church. If you see people, well, why there's people just speaking in tongues? Is that out of order? And you got to read 1 Corinthians. It's a very good question. But what we see, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about this, and I'll summarize. But basically, Paul's talking about, listen, if you pray in tongues, you're edifying yourself, but you don't necessarily edify the whole body. Now, he doesn't say never do it, but he's saying you need to understand what you're doing. If everybody's just speaking in tongues and someone there that doesn't understand, that's probably not going to edify them at all. If someone is going to speak in tongues and command the attention of the room, then there needs to be tongues given and there needs to be an interpretation. Otherwise, it does not edify the body. Now, he's not putting an embargo on speaking in tongues. He's saying, listen, guys, this is getting out of hand. If everyone's just speaking in tongues loudly and no one ever brings clarity, no one ever explains, what good does that do to unbelievers? How does that profit an unbeliever? So yes, there is the gift of tongues. So we see every time someone receives the Holy Ghost, they speak with tongues. But then there's also the gift of tongues that is for the local assembly. So a spiritful person can exercise the gift of tongues in a personal devotion for his own personal edification. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 14. And then a spirit-filled person can exercise the gift of tongues for the edification of the local assembly. This occurs when a public message is given in tongues and then interpreted. Again, you can read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So we understand. You need to understand that. Because a lot of people, they get caught up on that. They say, well, I don't know if this is in order. But yet again, what I would say is, look in the New Testament. When people receive the Holy Spirit, there is a sign. And now, we're going to continue to talk about this. So, why tongues? Back to this idea. Well, why then? Why is it tongues? Why does that matter? Well, then I think this is also very important for us to understand. We go back to what James said. James said this, James 3 and 8, the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We understand this, but in James chapter 3 verse 2 earlier, he says this in the English Standard Version, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Now, not perfect as in as Jesus was perfect. In this instance, perfect means mature or complete or not needing something more. He is perfect also. Also able also to bridle his whole body. The New Living Translation says this way, indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So what does that mean? What that tells me is if I control my tongue, everything else follows. If I can control my tongue, everything else follows that. So in the same way, we see that speaking in tongues is the initial sign that you have received the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? God, if I can give you control, if I can speak in a heavenly language, then the understanding is if I can do this, surrender my tongue to the Lord, everything else will follow that surrender. So number one, why tongues? We understand that if we can control it, everything else follows. Now, Luke 6 tells us, basically, in Luke 6, 45, you can read it. But out of a good man's heart comes good things. Out of an evil man's heart comes evil things. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you say, well, you're just obsessed with people trying to speak in tongues. No, the point is not to seek tongues. The point is to seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what I'm saying is, if I had a pitcher of water, I'm not saying, you know what, I want you to overflow with water today. I want you to overflow with water. No, but I understand. If I begin to pour into this vessel, at some point, when it becomes full, something is going to come pouring out of it. In the same way, I'm not just concerned with you speaking in tongues. I'm concerned with you being so full of the Holy Spirit, because I know whatever is in abundance in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. So I expect, when I am filled with the Holy Spirit, something is going to come out. And if so, if it's the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be natural. It's going to be supernatural. So if I am filled with the supernatural Spirit of God, then something supernatural is going to come out of my mouth. We see this. It reveals what's happening in your heart. Think about this. Our tongue is connected to our identity. Go back in the Old Testament with me. Think of the time, if you remember this story, when man basically tried to make a tower to God, tried to prop ourselves up as God. In Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, how did God divide men? How did God make everyone scurry? He confused their language. He confused their tongue. So he separated everyone by their language. Now, certainly, when we speak in tongues, we're not all speaking the same identical language. But what we understand here is there is a principle. That there was, when man tried to make himself God, there was a division. And he used our tongue as a part of that division. And so now, why? Why do we all come to church? Why can we all be in one body? We're not one body because we all have the same ethnic background. No. We're not all one body because we all came from the same place. No. We're not all one body because we all came from people that spoke the same language generations ago. No. What we understand is there was a division. And it separated the identity of man. But now when we come back, what happens? Pentecost unites us in our experience. I don't care your background, you can speak in tongues. I don't care your ethnicity, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you've never been to church before, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says it this way, neither is there Greek nor Jew, bond nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. He says, I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your background. I don't care if you're a man. I don't care if you're a woman. Everyone is one. Why? Because you have been buried in Jesus Christ. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. We are one body. That only happens in the church. You're not going to find that anywhere else. It only happens in the church. And then finally, I submit to you today. We know this. What did I say? Whenever an author wants to make the strongest point possible, what analogy do they use? Life and death. So again, life and death. Finish the quote. Finish the scripture. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we understand this. Now, death, we know. When you are living in sin, when you are walking in ways you know are not right, what are you speaking? Death. You're speaking death over yourself. You don't know any better. You're walking through darkness. You're doing all these things. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it changes everything about you, even the way you speak. So I'm not surprised that God chose to speaking in tongues as a part of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because I know life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what better way to speak life than to speak in a heavenly language that the Spirit of God gives you the utterance? I tell you today, there's times when you don't even know what to say, you don't even know what to pray, but if you can begin to pray in the Spirit, the Bible says that the Spirit will make groanings for you. When you don't even know what to pray, you can pray in the Spirit. Yes, you may not know what I'm saying, you may not know what you're saying, but your spirit is being edified. Why? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Our musicians can come. I'm coming to a close. But we understand this. First thing I said is you got to know, Paul says in Romans 6, you got to know what you believe. You've got to know what it means to be in Christ. And then he says in verse 11, in the King James, he says, reckon. He uses this word, reckon. You must reckon your life to it. It's almost like, and you can look it up, you can look up the root of it, but it's like an accounting term almost. Like an accountant would reckon the books. To say, if this is true, if you know this is true, if you're really living to God and not living for sin, then reckon your life, align your life around that fact. Change your life around that fact. And then he says, finally, to present our bodies. He says it here in Romans 6, but he also says it in Romans chapter 12. But in Romans 6, he tells us, do not present your members as to sin, as instruments for unrighteousness. Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Why? Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you. So here he says, present or yield yourself. So that's where the Holy Spirit is presenting ourselves, is yielding ourselves. So what do I mean when I say give God control? You got to give God control. Presenting your body is a living sacrifice. That doesn't mean you just give, like giving a present and walking away. No, it is, God, I'm making a decision to present myself every single day. But I want to speak to somebody today because I understand the danger is that you just think, well, I just want to speak in tongues. I just want to speak in tongues. I just want to speak in tongues. Or why be so obsessed about speaking in tongues? But can I tell you, I desire that every person would be filled with the Spirit. And if you seek being filled with the Spirit, the tongues come with the Holy Spirit. The tongues are not the, speaking in tongues is not the end game. It's not a box to check. What is it? It is the overflow of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Stand with me today. I want to tell you again, God has already been moving in this place. But here's the deal. If you are struggling with this, I want to speak to somebody really quick. You've been seeking after the Holy Ghost. You're saying, God, I want the Holy Ghost. God, I want the Holy Spirit. The truth is sometimes when I speak with people, it's actually more about giving up control than trying to control. Because if I'm so obsessed with trying to speak in tongues, what am I trying to do? I may be trying to control something that I was never made to control. It may not really be about control. It may be about giving away control. And here's the thing that you're going to fight with. And here's the thing I talk to people that just received the Holy Spirit and they have this experience for the first time or they're seeking it. They say, well, if they just received the Holy Ghost, I've had this conversation dozens of times. Well, was it just me? Was that really just me? What was it? Was that real? Maybe this isn't real. Maybe it's just me. Or is there something wrong with me because I haven't done A, B, and C? We make it performative. But here's the thing you need to understand. Yes, the Holy Spirit filling you does not take away your human will or your human choice. This is going to sound so practical. But if I'm praying, I have the choice to close my mouth and walk out the door. I can do that. I can choose to do that. So is the answer, well, was it just me? Yes, it is you and it's God. So receiving the Holy Ghost is not me being an inactive participant and God just doing something and me doing nothing. No, it is me receiving a gift that he is giving me. But you are, let's say, was it me? Yes, it's you, but it's not just you. It is the Holy Spirit moving through you. And I hope I've shown you today such something so powerful, speaking in tongues. You know what it is too? One of those powerful anchors of your walk with the Lord. Scripture is so powerful, so vital, it's our foundation. But your personal experience with Jesus Christ is something that nobody can take away from you. So when somebody receives the Holy Ghost, I don't just say, oh, you got the Holy Ghost. I heard you speak in tongues. No, I ask a question. Did you hear yourself speak in tongues? Because it doesn't really matter if I say this is what happened. The point is for you to know, because it is a personal experience, for you to know I have received the Holy Spirit, number one, and number two, it wasn't just me. I'm not interested in a performance. I'm interested in you being so full of the Spirit that it flows out of you as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. No, this is not a performance. It is an infilling. So today, and again, if you have the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to pray with me, even right now, in your spirit, in your mind. I want the Spirit of God to flow in this place. There are people here, you are bound by sin, and you have been searching, and you may have never heard of the Holy Ghost the way I presented it today. But let me just tell you today, the Bible tells us that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of sin, the dominion of sin is broken in your life. It is different than when you do not have the Holy Ghost. There is a difference. Now, certainly, why do we need the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, you must be born again of water and spirit. So certainly, if you want to enter to the kingdom of heaven, if you want to go to heaven, you need the Holy Spirit. But also, it changes your life now. You can have overcoming power now. And then we see all of us in Ephesians. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's my hope and prayer for you today, is that every single person, we sometimes say it, to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by that? Because I want you to understand, again, I use this analogy. If this water bottle is at the very lowest, I don't want that. I want you to walk so full of the Spirit that it flows out of you in every way. So in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come pray. And if you have never received the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in another tongue, that is a gift that is here for you today. It is biblical and it is real and it is an experience that you can have. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I want to baptize you today in Jesus' name. Why? Because you will be buried with Jesus in baptism, buried into the death of Jesus. And then when you rise, you can walk in newness of life. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then for all of us, I want to ask you, if you're, I would say in my age, in that 35 to 40 range, maybe for you, you look back upon when was the last time you really had an experience with the Lord and spoke in tongues. If your answer is, well, when I was a teenager, I really had wonderful experiences. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for, well, I went to youth camp when I was a teenager and that really impacted me. No, you need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to walk in newness of life. It's not just a one-time experience. If you've been struggling, I want to tell everybody today, my prayer is that in a moment, we would all come around this front and all seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are people that are going to speak in tongues and they haven't done in a long time. And I believe there's going to be people that are filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time. But it's not just so much about us trying to count numbers. It's about you having a personal, undeniable experience. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and the dominion of sin will be broken in your life and Jesus will be put on the throne of your life and you will be born again and we can be baptized you in Jesus' name and your sins will be remitted and you will be just as ready to meet the Lord as somebody that's been sitting in these chairs for 20 years because that's only something God can do. So right now I would ask, church, you know the significance of this day. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know the significance of this day. You know the significance of Pentecost. So I would ask, will we just begin to pray right now? I want there to be a move of the Spirit. I want there to be an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can be poured out. Can we just begin to prepare our hearts? Can we just begin to lift up our voices? I want to pray over you right now. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would begin to flow. I pray that somebody today, they've been seeking your Spirit. Lord, they want it and they've been looking for it. I pray today is the day that they don't get so consumed with trying to control it, but that they are going to release it unto you. They're going to release control, God. I believe it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Right now, I want to say, if you want to be refilled with the Spirit or you want the Holy Spirit for the very first time, I would ask you, would you come down to this front? And we're going to pray together. We're going to pray for the Spirit to be poured out. Yes, that's it. I'm calling on people that you've had the Holy Ghost for 20 years, but you say, I want to be refilled. I'm calling on people. You've never spoken in tongues. I want to tell you, you can have that experience today. And we're going to pray in just a minute. We're going to pray in just a minute together. But I want to tell you this. This is what's going to happen. I want us to join in together. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance. Number one is repentance of clearing our mind, clearing our spirit of everything that's not of God. Peter said, repent of your sins. That's saying, God, I'm sorry. That's saying, God, I want to be forgiven. And then we're going to also take away doubt because there is a doubt. Is this real? Why haven't I got this? Why haven't I spoken in tongues in a long time? There is an element of doubt. And yes, there is a human element to it because you have a choice. But then when we begin to pray, the Bible says that you will speak in another tongue as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. For some people, it just looks like beginning to pray, and then as you pray, there may be sounds or thoughts in your mind that feel like they didn't originate from you. It may sound like gibberish, may sound like a language you've never heard. Whatever that is, the encouragement is to release that unto God. It's not so much, hey, let me make these sounds. It is, let me release what the Holy Spirit is pouring into me. As you begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I expect there to be an evidence. But right now, I want us to pray a prayer of repentance because if we're going to be filled, first we have to be empty. We've got to empty ourselves of sin, empty ourselves of doubt, empty ourselves of anything that is not of God. So saint of 20 years or guest today, would you begin to empty yourself by repenting right now? I'm going to do it. I can't pray for your sins and you can't pray for my sins, but I'm going to pray right now. Lord, God, I pray that you would forgive me. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me right now of my sins, oh Lord. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would forgive my sins, that you would cleanse me all from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that I'll be cleansed and washed in your sight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Okay, we have repented of our sins. Now, in Scripture, we see There's times that many people were filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's also times when people, ministers, laid their hands on them. I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable, but if you want to, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, but you want that experience today, I don't want to call you out, but could you just wave your hand very slightly? I just want you to begin to wave your hand. If you're a minister, can you look around? I want you to find somebody. If you want the Holy Ghost and you've never received it, I want you to just keep waving your hand real small. I'm not trying to draw the whole room to your attention. But if you're a minister, I want you to look for somebody that has their hand raised. I want you to go and find them, because you can lay hands on them and they can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the very first time. And then we're all gonna pray, and I want you to be refilled. If you haven't spoken in tongues in a long time, I wanna pray for a refilling of the Spirit, and it's gonna happen today. The Bible says it was like a rushing mighty wind. The Bible says, like wind, you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it's going. Same as everyone that is filled with the Spirit. I can't tell you where it comes from, but it's gonna happen for you today. So right now, we're gonna begin to pray, and then I believe the Lord is gonna pour out a Spirit. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, I pray right now that we will prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we'll be refilled in the name of Jesus. Okay, church, if you're ready for that, I want you to begin seeking the Holy Spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray as people lay hands on other people, they would release that. I don't care what it sounds like. Don't let doubt cloud your mind. In Jesus' name, if you have the Holy Ghost, I would ask, would you pray in the Holy Ghost? Would you pray for people that have never received it, that they would receive it right now, in Jesus' name? Oh, let's pray. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost.